You were not a judge before you were a judge here, but you had arbitrated a great many cases.
Yes.
And that gave you, of course, a certain kind of judicial experience. Had you ever sat in a criminal case before?
Yes, I had. You probably missed it out in my CV. For about 10 years, I was what we call a commissioner of assize.
Yes.
Commissioner of Assize has the rank of a high court judge.
Ah, okay.
But comes to do only largely criminal appeals, because the criminal appeals require a two judge bench, and sometimes the Chief Justice finds that he hasn't got enough judges to carry out the load of criminal appeals, so he appoints commissioners of Assize. Strictly speaking, under the law, they can try any case that any high court judge can try, and we did try some civil cases, but mainly we were utilized in the criminal appeals. That is appeals coming from the magistrate courts to the high court, which are either certified to require three judges or to require two judges. And so I did a lot of that work.
That's an appeals court, is it not?
No.
Okay.
When it is doing criminal appeals, it is an appeals court.
Okay.
From the magistrates. When it is exercising original jurisdiction, it's a trial court.
Okay.
At the high court.
So you have experience then in sentencing people for crimes that for which they have been convicted.
Actually, I had the experience of reviewing sentences, because we did not have original criminal jurisdiction.
Okay.
The High Court's original criminal jurisdiction was only in murder, and it was not usual for the court to assign murder to commissioners of assize, because their period is indeterminate. So they are given the work that runs quickly, which is appeals. So in dealing with sentences, we were more dealing with this, looking to see whether the sentences are lawful, they are illegal, they are too heavy or too light for the offenses.
Well, the reason I am following this line of questioning is because obviously you have to make sentencing decisions in this court when somebody is convicted.
Mm-hmm.
And sentencing for crimes such as people are here generally charged with would seem to me to be a little different.
It's extremely heavy, I can tell you that.
Yes, and I want to ask you about that. I know that you haven't had a lot of experience sentencing because you only completed one case.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of your what you think about and the sentencing decisions, how is it different or how is it the same? What considerations are there? You, of course, do not have the death penalty.
Which is a blessing, a great blessing, because you don't ever have to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the same as having to make it in decision. Of course, in the work that I did as Commissioner of Assize, occasionally I had to look at capital offenses, because the magistrates also try capital robbery as offenses for which they can sentence someone to death. But I already admit that I had only one instance reviewed a sentence of death from the magistrate's court, and I was reviewing whether it is legal, not the extent. And both the judge sitting with me, Mr. Butler Sloth, Sir Justice Butler Sloth, and myself agreed the sentence was illegal, so we reversed it and sent the case back for trial. But to answer your question, it's a very heavy responsibility coming to the appropriate sentence.
In the ICTR. Tell us about that.
It troubled us quite a bit when we were trying sentencing Muimana. I think, in fact, we were locked in differences for more than a week. We were we were having sentence combinations that we were not able to get unanimity for some time, and we do a lot of searching. And the reason is this: you have the maximum sentence, which is life imprisonment. A person is charged with rape, with the genocide, with crimes against humanity, with all those other crimes. And you have to tell yourself which of these offenses is more serious offense than the other one. And really, it is, you have to look at the ignominy, you have to look at the involvement, the quality of involvement, because in trying genocide, you will have people who will be involved in it for various reasons. One, they may be involved because they are really genocidal in their decision. They are the ones who went hunting and looking for people to go and work, as they called it. Then the others who were found to go and work, they would never had the initiative to go and do anything. They even thought it was a bad thing, but it was a situation where either you go and do it or you get killed yourself. So a lot of them went to avoid getting killed, or so they said when they were eventually brought before you. And the others who were doing it out of duty. I am the local administrator here. It is government policy that these two cities be eliminated, and there's a job, we go and do it, and so on and so forth. And there are lots of others. So all these kind of things, these motivations come into your mind when you are thinking about what to do with the person you have found guilty. And I would think myself, my mind is this, that unless I am satisfied that the involvement was 100% voluntary, that it cannot be but 100% voluntary, then I wouldn't go for the maximum sentence. But what sentences I would give after that depends really on the extent of that involvement, the callousness of the activity. Sometimes the way in which the accused acted tells you volumes about what his thinking was, and so forth. The other consideration in sentencing, of course, the crime, the sentence should fit the crime. The victims should feel there's some atonement, something has been done for them. The community should see that the activity, the person, the guilty have been punished or adequately punished, and so on and so forth. Those are all the things that come in the mind of a judge as he determines the sentence. But it is the most difficult part of the whole process. The trial itself, the determination as to guilt or innocence, is a much, much easier process than the determination, once you have found a person guilty, as to what sentence you should award.